All right, we are in 2 Thessalonians, so if you can turn over there. Second Thessalonians, we're in chapter 2, it's not a very long epistle, and we are beginning in verse 6. Before we do that, let me just make some introductory comments about it. The title of this message is The Christ versus the Antichrist. The Christ versus the Antichrist. You know, when a championship fight is announced, typically you have the champion and you have the challenger. And many times a champion wins, but every once in a while, if some of you may have seen that movie Rocky, Sylvester Stallone and some of his, well, he was the challenger. He was a great underdog. He ended up winning. Well, thankfully, Jesus is the champion, has always been the champion, and will always be the champion.
Amen.
He will never be defeated. And that's encouraging for us. Satan and his cronies, however, which includes their prized fighter, the Antichrist, can challenge the champion and his followers all he wants to. But it's all going to be in vain because they will be defeated and be utterly and altogether and eternally defeated when Christ comes and they'll be cast in the flames of hell. Now, it is the challenge Goliath, representing the Antichrist, and David representing Christ. We see that was a picture that we see in the Old Testament. But in terms of now, we see that Jesus is the Goliath, if you will, and Satan is just like a little bitty little old ant. There's just no contest. And that's why we need to look at it. Because if you don't look at it that way, you will cower before the enemy. You'd be like a little old puppy with the tail between his legs. We don't want to be that way, do we? Our God deserves more than that. I mean, I can imagine if, you know, a great general, you could name one. I don't know everything about him, so if I'm saying this person's a great general, and he's not, excuse me. But anyway, Patton or somebody like that, MacArthur, you know, okay, I see some thumbs up. But anyway, those kind of generals, you would want to, you know, and you looked up to him, you respected him, you would fight hard for somebody like that you believed in. And so we ought to fight hard. We shouldn't run away. We shouldn't turn tail. We ought to recognize the God with whom we have to do. He is the champion. He is the conqueror of all conquerors. And so we need to look at the conflict in those terms. Just like that battle between David and Goliath. Whoever won that battle won it for the nation. Won it for those followers. If you are on the side of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, He wins, you win. David won, Israel won. If Goliath would have won, the Philistines would have won. Remember how they were just going to have one man against one and whoever wins, and then that nation would win. Well, that's the way it is. You're on Christ's side, He's going to fight our battles, then we win as well. What we want to do is, and this is really in essence what Paul is conveying to the church here at Thessalonica. They were troubled. What we want to look at first of all, as we deal with the Christ versus the Antichrist, we're going to look at three things. Number one, the fight has begun. Number two, the fight will end. Number three, the fight has consequences. So the fight has begun, the fight will end, and the fight has consequences. So look, first of all, the fight has begun, which will be beginning here in verse 6 of chapter 2. Now the Thessalonian church knew these things that Paul's about to write. He knows that thing that must happen first before Christ comes in all His power and His glory are what withholds that event by God's sovereign choice and plan. So let's break this verse 6 down. Notice it says, and now ye know. The Thessalonian church recognizes regarding the truth that involves the second coming of Christ based on the previous epistle, based on the previous visit that Paul had with them when he began and established the church, and based on the previous verses in this particular second epistle that he's written. They knew this. But what is he saying exactly? What withholdeth? Now notice the word what, because it's different from later on. We're going to see a different word instead of what. What withholdeth? What is this what? Well, that is the events of the rapture. The events of the rapture. The great falling away into apostasy. Or the power of God's predestinated plan. His providence, His restraining power of the Holy Spirit that withholds, that keeps back, must transpire before Christ comes. That's what they understood. That the rapture and all the various things connected with that, that's being withheld. They knew that what withholdeth. But then it says, that he might be revealed in his time. It's talking about the Antichrist, if you look at the previous verses. The Antichrist, as bad as he may want to be revealed, if he's living right now, as bad as our enemy wants him to be revealed, he will not be revealed one nanosecond before God says, you'll be revealed. That's how much in control that he is. And that's how much control that we need to recognize that God is in. Every little millisecond of our lives, God is in control of it. And that, you know, that's the sovereignty of God. You don't hear that much today. It's all dependent on us. No wonder there's so many people who profess the name of Christ who are depressed or try to find other avenues to find joy. Let's put that in quotations, use the term loosely. Because they don't realize God's in control and they can't rest in that. But now verse 7 continues with this fight that has already begun. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken away. This mystery of iniquity, the fight has already begun, even way back then, and it's still happening right now. It really began way back when Lucifer made war in heaven. For the mystery of iniquity. This word mystery is a Greek word, mysterion. And it never means it's something so mysterious that you got to be in the inner circle of the disciples to be able to figure it out. It always means that it cannot be revealed until God reveals it. That's what it means. It has not been disclosed and can only be discovered by God and cannot be discovered merely by human research. The mystery of iniquity. So you're expecting to find it out just by the human mind. You won't. This mystery is of iniquity. And the Greek word there is anomia, which means no law or sinfulness or lawlessness. The mystery of lawlessness. A lot of people don't understand that. They don't understand what's going on in this world today. And the lowering of moral standards. They imagine that they're being liberated. You know? They really do. They really think they're being liberated. And it's like, okay. But it's the opposite. Satan has pulled a fast one on them and making them think that they're being liberated when in reality they're being enslaved. It's sad, but it's true. Notice again, doth already work. It's happening, and we see it. You know, Carol and I were talking about today. There's some things happening today just make you scared to death. If it wasn't for Jesus Christ. I mean, things are going out. Even people in the world recognize things going out of control. It's just a mess. It's already working. And it is working faster than I've ever seen it in my lifetime. I mean, it's... Only he who now letteth will let. Now we got the who. We had the what. God's providence, rapture, who. We mentioned, we touched on this last week, or this past Lord's Day. This is, of course, refers to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit restrains, holds back, keeps at bay the lawlessness that could be in this world. Could be a whole lot worse. And it's going to get a whole lot worse. And when the rapture happens, it's really going to get worse. There'll be no more restraining influence of the people of God or this Holy Spirit of God. Until he be taken out of the way. When the Holy Spirit releases his restraining power. In his perfect sovereign timing of God's bidding and God's eternal plan. That's when it's going to happen. No surprises. We hate to see some of these things happening today. And I pray that God will somehow or another bring revival. I mean, that could happen. It could be it might be just a short season, but I'll take a short season over no season. At least in your own heart. Have a revival. But in all likelihood, we are getting very, very, very close. So let's look secondly. We know that the fight has begun. But praise God, the fight will end. It will end. It'll be over. Verse 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed. When the Holy Spirit lifts his restraining hand, when God's people are raptured up, that wicked, that Antichrist, shall be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. When these events that we just previously mentioned transpire, then shall the Antichrist be revealed, but it'll only be revealed to be destroyed and judged. It says, and then shall that wicked be revealed. When the Holy Spirit releases this restraining power, the world is going to see iniquity like it's never seen. It's not going to be so pretty. Whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. There'll be no prolonged conflict here. The Lord's just going to blow on him. And he's going to fall over like a house of cards. Like blowing out a match. God's going to destroy him. That's the kind of God we serve. That's the power that he has. And I take comfort in that. I take a little boldness from that, knowing that's the way my God is. He's not going to play around. And it says, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. His very presence and his return is going to destroy him. He's just going to make his presence known, and it'll be just obliterated, annihilated. And all those who are identified with this Antichrist. I don't say this because I have arrived. I'm a sinner like anybody else. And wasn't for the grace of God, I'd be falling to Antichrist too. But thank God, he's a God of grace and mercy and love. All those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him. Now who is he speaking of? Notice, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. This Antichrist is going to be a phenomenal person. He's going to be amazing. He's the embodiment of Lucifer, the archangel as he once was. Now called Satan, the adversary, the enemy of mankind. Sinner, you are no match for such evil. No match. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. Just like Jesus had the Spirit of God without measure, the Antichrist is going to have so much of Satan in him like no other person ever has. He's going to be a scary individual. With all power, Satan's power in overwhelming wickedness and all that comes along with being the chief archangel of God as he once was, so much so that even Michael, the archangel, didn't rebuke him and bring a railing accusation on him. He said, the Lord rebuked thee. That's nothing to play around with. There is the spirit of Antichrist working today. And if you start working, if you start speaking out against what's going on, you'll know. Now, hiding your head in the sand might work for a little while. But sooner or later, the lion's going to come and seek whom he may devour, the adversary. Whether you got your head in your sand, in the sand or not. But it says there, not only is it with all power, but and signs. You know, as Jesus revealed his deity, he said, if you don't believe my words, believe the works. The Antichrist is going to work with signs and wonders. Jesus revealed his deity, especially to the Jews, with signs and wonders. The Antichrist, as a chief archangel at one time, signs of angelic power. He will be perceived as the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of this world. It's not too hard to imagine when you've got angelic power. And he has these signs and wonders. It's not too hard to imagine. I mean, people go goo-goo-eyed over these Hollywood stars. You know, they're going to be a pushover when Satan comes on the scene and the Antichrist comes on the scene. But it says, and lying wonders. Now, what do we mean by lying wonders? I imagine some of it possibly could be just plain counterfeit. But if you remember, Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses and performed the same kind of miracles that Moses did. They were using in the Old Testament satanic power to duplicate the miracles that Moses was doing in the power of God. Now, what's lying about it? What's lying about it is that he's going to use those powers, the Antichrist, to proclaim that he is the Christ. That he is the Messiah. That's what the lie is. You can never, ever depend on miracles to identify, just that alone, to identify a Messiah or Savior. Remember the rich man and Lazarus? He wanted those signs and wonders. He said, even if somebody rose from the dead, they won't believe. You got to believe the Word, the living Word, Jesus Christ. Believe the Gospel. Satan will impersonate Christ and have the deadly wound. He will be perceived as being resurrected according to Revelation 13, verses 3 and 12. These lying wonders will make them think he is the Christ and Savior from their sins. Or, we can look at it this way, Savior of the consequences of their sins. Oh, I can go ahead and sin. I can call evil good and good evil and everything's okay. Good is evil. You speak against the Antichrist, you're evil. That's the way they're going to look at it. And that's what happens today. You speak out against sodomy, you're evil. But it's really the opposite. And so now it says in verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness of them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. He will be a person of unabashed deception and immorality, as his followers who love lies and live lies and hate the truth. See, it's coming down to the Word. It's coming down to what's true, what's false. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, this deception, number one, deceivableness of unrighteousness. How is that you can be saved by your works? That's unrighteousness. You can't. Our righteousness is just filthy rags. Or, again, the backwards concept. Evil is good and good is evil. Or there's no consequences because nothing's sin. In them that perish. Those who perish think this way. It's a trademark of those who perish. Those who are lost, who are brought to ruin, the state of ruin, hell. The Greek word here for perish is apolomi, meaning perish, lost, or state of ruin. It comes from two Greek words, apo, meaning separation, like law, separation from God, separated from all His blessings, and olithros, which means ruin, destruction, or death. They're going to believe anything but the truth. They want to hear it. They might think it's kind of interesting, like the Greeks, right? They want to hear some new thing to entertain them a little bit. But do they really believe it? The proof is whether they're going to live it, whether they're going to embrace it, whether they're going to suffer for it. That's the proof. Because they received not the love of the truth. You know, the people during this last half of the great tribulation, the last 3.5 years, see, the Antichrist is only going to rule 42 months, according to the Scriptures. Revelation 13:5. They won't love the truth. They'll love entertainment. They'll love their pleasures. The rampant sin and the ensuing troubling times will not make them appreciate Christ, but rather they will shake their fist at God and seek the Antichrist. Read Revelation. That's what they're going to do. And you see people more and more being intolerant today. You go out there and preach on the street corner or witness to people, and you find out they don't have too many kind things to say about you, that they might be saved. Salvation is not seeing people raised from the dead, but it's only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. First, the penalty is paid. You're delivered from the penalty of sin. You're delivered from the power of sin. And then finally, you're delivered from the presence of sin. Those who are unsaved, they're going to go to a hell where they're going to sin. But there's not going to be any pleasure in it. And that brings us lastly to the last part. The fight has consequences. The fight has begun. The fight will end. And the fight has consequences. Verse 11, "And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie." This cause-effect relationship will have an up-close and personal effect. And when they used to teach school, we used to teach cause and effect. Scholastically, you study for a test, you probably do good. You don't study for it, you won't do so good. And behaviorally, making bad choices, you suffer the consequences, at least, sort of, these days. Eventually, there will be a suffering of consequences. Because they've chosen to love lies. And God will give them what they want to the full. You want lies? You get it. And for this cause, the consequence of their rejecting the truth and embracing life, God shall send them strong delusion. God will give them what they want in full measure. They want lies? Here, take it till it comes out your ears. That's what it is. That's what God did to Israel when they wanted something besides the manna. Verse 12 will be the last one we'll deal with tonight. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. In the end, they've gotten what they wanted. Really. They have no excuse. They wanted to live lies. They wanted to believe lies. They wanted to hate the truth because they loved their unrighteous pleasures more than the God of truth. Those are some scary words there. That they all might be damned. And they're embracing their lies, their sins. They're going to be damned, condemned, judged as guilty criminals against God's holy law. And against the holy judge of all the earth. I get the willies just thinking about going before a judge. You know, even if I'm innocent, you know, what's that lawyer going to do? I mean, what's going to happen to get me in trouble? But just think, going before the judge of all the earth and standing before him with no excuse whatsoever, that you know you're guilty and you will be punished and there's no escape.
That's right.
If you don't know Jesus Christ, I strongly urge you to consider what the Scriptures say. Because it'll come back to haunt you. Who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. In the fight of the Christ versus the Antichrist, the fight's already begun. The fight will end, and the fight has consequences. And Jesus Christ will be revealed as the champion that He always has been and always will be. Consider the consequences of this fight. If you're not in the Lord's army, if you're not in Christ's army, now, you know what it says in the book of Revelation? The only ones that you can surely identify being saved during the Great Tribulation
is 144,000 Jews. There's some under the altar, we're not even sure exactly who they are. But you know there's not going to be many, or the Antichrist couldn't rule. If you don't know Jesus Christ before the rapture, you probably won't. That's a scary thought. So I ask you, turn from your sins and believe on Jesus Christ. I know this is a heavy, serious, solemn subject, but hey, that's where we are in this book. It would be wrong not to express it the way I'm expressing it. I would be sinning against you if I did do that. Take it seriously. If you don't know Christ, turn to Him. He died on the cross and paid the penalty for everyone that would believe on Him. We can't keep the law. We're not perfect. We're going to sin. Are we just going to just get off scot-free? What kind of world would that be now today? We see what? The justice is not being done. God's not going to be like that. He's going to deal with sin. But He's provided a Savior. So I urge you to look to Him. You have nothing substantial to lose but hell. Those of us who are saved from our sins, or who shall be, we need to take comfort like the Thessalonian church here did. No matter how bad things get, there's going to be, we already have the victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. And what a glorious day it's going to be. An eternal day it's going to be. When Jesus returns and sets this world in order the way it's supposed to be. Eternal paradise. Man has failed for thousands of years. Because of our sins, only God is going to be able to straighten it up. So I encourage you to take courage and take comfort in the return of Christ, because in the scene that will unfold soon, the Christ versus the Antichrist, it'll be no contest. Jesus will win, and He'll win eternally. God bless.